Awakened Path Radio, giving you the tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Green.
Hello and welcome to Awakened Path Radio, Thought Thursday. Remember, you can check us out at www.awakenedpathonline.com. Again, that's www.awakenedpathonline.com. Today, we have with us again Bala Deva, who is a neo-shaman aligning with sole purpose to bring healing unification through a fusion of ancient and or future artistry, spiritual philosophy, and reconnective healing energies. As referred to in his booklet, Living Light Language, Creation Speaks. Welcome back to our show, Bala. It's so good to speak with you again.
Oh, Candace. All right. Nice to hear your voice. Thank you for the interview.
So last time I looked at some of your amazing art pieces online. Where does your inspiration come from for these unique pieces?
Well, I guess the art is not for everyone. It is very unique. And, I felt that some people are able to absorb themselves in the imagery and relate to it in some way and in their own individual way get messages from it or inspiration. I work in such a way that I want the art experience, the experience of creating visual art, to be like revelatory for me. And so, you know, I went to a traditional art school and did a few years of that. And the training was good, and it's great to get down your skills with life drawing and landscape drawing and, you know, all these methods of representational art, right? Mm-hmm. So we hone our skills like that. But at some point, just really exploring consciousness and exploring the inner realm of spirit, I wanted something to evolve out of the page I was drawing on rather than me dictating what it was going to be. Right. And so I really started letting go and allowing the pen or the pencil to just move about on the page, mark making, and with whatever felt good and felt right. And I think through that process, I began channeling some definite images that people, when they see them, they immediately think Mayan. And so whether this is a past life thing or something that's coming through as a message, if anyone's, you know, were to view the Galactic Glyph website, I think that's maybe one of the first impressions someone would pick up on, is it has a hieroglyphic type of appeal. And similar shapes and forms come out, but every piece is completely unique. So I never create the same piece twice. And I'd say that's really the process of discovery, you know, is what intrigues me. And that what comes out in the end surprises me, and it's like a gift. So I take it in that way.
And it's interesting that you say some people think Mayan, because that's the same thing I thought when I was looking at your art pieces, and they are fabulous. And it is just so amazing what we can produce when we let go of attachments and we let what spirit work through us. And your pieces are a testimony to that.
Well, and some people, you know, get different impressions. So I do use the term ancient future, which when I heard that, came across that at some point years ago, it intrigued me, and I could relate to that. And I think even in today's culture, like society, with a lot of movies that have come out that are very mm-hmm. high-tech oriented and sci-fi.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're constantly showing us these glyphic images that light up and are like scroll-like, images that are of an ancient past, mm-hmm. and yet I use the word reflect a future.
Right. Even Black Panther had that within it.
Okay. So that's a good point. Yeah. There's mm-hmm. many current movies that are bringing this out. And so what is that about? Like, why is it coming into mm-hmm. the collective so much? Mm-hmm. And I think, this whole idea of disclosure, that whether there's ancient ruins in Antarctica or all around the world, these beautiful mm-hmm. monuments. So I think it's obvious that there's been higher levels of civilization, whether mm-hmm. ETs have been present in that. Mm-hmm. But, there's an ancient past that has a very futuristic quality to it as well.
Yes, and that's talked about a lot too. I know on Gaia TV there's a series called Ancient Civilizations, which talks about the same thing, symbols of the past, but for us it's more like future. For as they talk about ETs who are coming here to visit us, to see us, and they are many light years away. Yet they're so more advanced than we are, and they sort of live in the future.
Yeah, yeah, that whole concept. So it's crossing timelines and everything, perhaps. Right.
So that's amazing. Your art comes from such a unique place. When we think about art today, so you're also a neo-landscapist. Could you explain for us what being a neo-landscapist is what being one entails? What does it mean to be a neo-landscapist?
Well, a bit of a writer, and I like poetry, so I think words in themselves are fun to play with, and so we've all heard of a landscape artist, and again, that's going back to traditional ways of creating art, and I totally appreciate it. Anyone who has the ability to do realism, I think it's wonderful. I personally just, kind of went a different route with abstraction and what I feel and gather, it gives me more of a, when I look at even abstract art, I think the individual then has more freedom to decide what and interpret it the way they want.
Right.
And that's a neat experience for me. Mm. But neo-landscapists, so are we now visionaries, as musicians, as artists, as creative people, we can co-create a new future design or image or what do we want to project into the world as being something possibly new to stimulate like new conceptions, new ideas of what's possible. So I guess, again, it goes back to exploring unknown territory and being willing, like a shaman, a neo-shaman is someone going into those places where you're not sure where it's going to take you, but trusting that spirit, that I do all these things in good intention. I think, somebody could go a negative route with something if they wanted
to. But
so it's basically in love and light and in trust of the goodness of all things, that I can bring about. I mean, art to me is really about beauty. Mm. It's about, and actually, could I read just a brief bio statement I had on my website?
Yes, please.
It goes along with the questions. Mm-hmm. And
most definitely.
So, right here is my artist statement. It says, "The supernatural content of my artwork brings forth from interdimensional realities to visually expose the emerging transfiguration which is occurring within the spiritually evolving species. As a neo-landscapist revisioning as we enter this golden age of wonder, it is my prerogative to engender within the artwork a dynamism that exudes harmony, beauty, love, and whimsy. Through an organic and geometric fusion, a glyph-like relic appears, pregnant with the future and descended from the ancient past. These timeless and universal characters bring to the light of day their healing and transformative message conveyed through a mythic language of form. So,
wow.
It was kind of a poetic the way that came out. I feel like, you know,
Definitely. But
that can be broken down into these different parts of trying to understand what it is. And I'm constantly trying to understand, you know, what it is that's coming through my artwork and others. You know, we're all channels for the next evolution of our species, you know.
Right. And we just have to tap into it, and also believe it too. You know, there are so many naysayers who don't believe in the interdimensional beings and messages that they have for us and teachings and all of those ideas. Go ahead.
So I mean, just in the way that I'm relating to my art, I do feel that something's been coming through, and so I hope that others who are I need to get my art exposed more in the world. I've had a website up for some years, but I really haven't been to events or shown more publicly lately. I just kind of create for my own pleasure, but I'm intending to get it out more in the world, and I really have experimented with having clients or, you know, individuals that I know drawing a glyph for them based on an energetic exchange with them, and as a channeled reading that one might do for another, draw an image that I pick up a frequency exchange from that person, and so it becomes their glyph, and however they want to interpret it or relate to it. But I feel like, yeah, there's always been a message in these that, like crop circles, I think, it activates us, and it activates an illumination and a DNA activation. You know, the ascension process is coming through to us in these different ways.
Now, you said you create glyphs for people based on energy. Correct me if I'm wrong. Now, how do you do that? I mean, that's I wasn't thinking about that, but I mean, that's very, very interesting. You do a reading for someone, and how do you grasp the energy and be able to create this glyph? What is the process you go through?
Well, you know, I think it's very intuitive, and you know, again, just trusting in spirit. It may not be real specific information. Like a psychic or a channeler might be able to take questions or just give a reading to someone and be very specific about things that have happened in their life or what to expect, or, you know, their qualities, tendencies. I think this is a more, you know, just an artistic way of sharing with somebody something that makes art not just something that, say, you're browsing in galleries, you see, you like, and you hang on the wall, you know, which has its own influence in our lives, but this way it becomes more personal, so you know that it was actually created for you, based on that exchange of two people interacting. I was at a New Age event, Body Mind Spirit conference in North Carolina a few years ago, and there was a woman who gave Akashic record readings, and she was very good at what she did.
Nice.
And afterwards, she wandered by booths and sat with me, and I drew some glyphs for her and gave some, and I give some interpretation because I kind of communicate with the person. We have a, you know, verbal exchange while I'm sketching it out, and it was something she appreciated, you know. just to
that's amazing.
It meant something to her.
So. Right. I mean, it's a personal, that's real. It's like it's a personal reading. It's very nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Now your page, we've said this word, this phrase a few times, galactic gift, glyphs. What is a glyph for those who don't know? And what is the significance of you titling your website Galactic Glyphs?
Yeah, so Galactic Glyphs. I think, again, that's almost synonymous with like ancient future, you know? Mm. So the term galactic is certainly out there in the consciousness of people as we're exploring other dimensions and a greater reality for humanity to open up to. And so, you know, a glyph then being basically a symbol of an ancient, you know, reflection of the ancient ways of representation, representing art and power symbols and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think it's that combination as a...
like an impression, maybe?
Pardon me?
Maybe like an impression, an ancient impression, sort of?
Yeah, well, I heard the term galactic Mayan as well through the readings of Jose Arguelles, who spoke about the 2012 Mayan calendar being a significant time of cosmic, you know, and planetary awakening, where we go through a gateway, and now we're on the other side, and things are evolving in a new and stimulating way as humanity's like ascending into higher dimensional frequencies, whether it's fifth dimension or so on. Mm-hmm. And this idea of galactic Mayan, I have to relate to that just because the imagery that I produce is very related with that. So, you know, the Mayans were known for their glyphs, of course. And also crop circles, I really relate to them. They are a sacred geometry type of patterning, and yet some of them are asymmetrical. Most of them are very symmetrical. My artwork tends to be very asymmetrical, but I have found a way to, like, even though I'm allowing the pen to just make the maneuvers it wants to do, based on a flow of energy that's coming, I also manipulate it and I create linear beings that are almost like totems. And so they become then, because we as human beings, we stand upright. And so we relate to other images that are vertical, which is interesting. So I think of them as humanoid or higher dimensional beings in my artwork that are like language, but also like a form of a being. Mm-hmm. And so these beings are like interacting on the page. That's, I hope if someone were to view my art, they would see that sort of thing.
And they should definitely check it out because it is amazing. Should definitely get that work out there so you can share it with others. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. And apparently you related to it in some way because, you know, it's...
Definitely. I loved it. Totally.
And I do like to take it to degrees of thinking that, you know, as we're in this ascension process, like whether we're aware of it or not, I think all humanity, there is a consciousness uprising or raising of consciousness in the world. And we're all going through it. And some of us view this as an ascension process. And so our DNA is activating, waking up more strands, you know, the frequency patterns of different, or the different tools that are now available, whether it's free energy devices and so many structured water. I mean, just daily, I'm coming across many different things that are assisting us to wake up on all different levels, physical, mental, emotional, etheric, you know? And so I think that the light language of vocal, beautiful music, artwork that's has a spiritual vibration, healing work of a spiritual vibration. All these things are helping us on a cellular level and our DNA to activate. And I wanted to reference, in the Vedic view, there's this idea of mantras. And so spiritual sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration, is a extremely powerful thing that's been used for countless centuries or eons in even the Indian culture, but and many cultures around the world, they have mantras, and it's sound vibrations that can be utilized to awaken consciousness. And related to mantras are yantras. And so a yantra is a visual representation of a mantra. And
so yantra.
Yeah, if you've ever seen, like, the, well, we've all seen the pyramid that's also with an inverted pyramid in it. This is known as the Sri Yantra, also commonly known as the Star of David. However, in the Vedic culture, it's a timeless ancient thing considered a Sri Yantra, and it represents the goddess energy. And that symbols like that, these sacred geometry symbols, are found throughout all cultures of the world, and I believe a language of creation, which maybe leads into another thing we could talk about.
That is amazing. Now, sweet, you mentioned a few times geometry. Now, not everyone did well in school in geometry. I mean, actually, I did, but that's a different story. So how does understanding sacred geometry play a role in transformation? Are they related?
Oh, yeah, I definitely believe so. Just as well, you know, and you think of those movies where you see these, it's like light glyphs being activated, and they all start lighting up, and then there's this powerful experience of maybe a being being revived or given superpowers.
Oh, that's in so many of these superhero movies too, as well.
Yeah. So it's interesting that we're all seeing that sort of thing, and it and it gives you an inspiration that, you know, there can be, these are like divine light codes, and that this is one of the principles behind light language or living light language, is that it's kind of the unseen world. But when we put ourselves into a healing place, into a place of allowing our body, mind, and spirit to unify, and through the sacred breath, that we can rise up into higher dimensional awareness, and these downloads of frequency, which are coded, you know, geometries. I mean, it's already, it's, you know, known that all of nature is comprised of different types of geometries.
It's
down
true.
To the very core of, you know, an atom. And so sacred geometry is everywhere around us, and ways of that humans have discovered to tap into it and utilize it as well.
And you mentioned, like, the crop circles as well, right? In geometric patterns, some of them.
Oh, well, I hope, you know, people do study those. And, you know, art, I was contemplating this earlier, a lot of times in our today's culture, because everything is so fast paced, and a lot of it so superficial as we drive down boulevards and whatnot, so we're constantly bombarded with imagery, and so we're used to just things, glancing at things and thinking we get it and we understand, and we move on, but there are things in nature or in art that really deserve contemplation and meditation. And so, like, a piece of art, you can glance at it and think, within a few seconds, you like, oh, I like it, I don't like it, right?
You move on. You don't even really think about it.
Yeah, but the idea of really sitting with something and giving it a few minutes at least to just absorb into your consciousness as your eye like moves around and begins to comprehend. And then so information starts coming through. On my notes here, I just jotted down a beautiful practice anyone can do, but you hold your palms up to the sun, say the morning sun as it's coming up,
right,
or as it's going down in the evening.
Right.
And whether your eyes are slightly open or you close your eyes, but allowing the sunlight to just pour into your palms and then pay attention to what is occurring. And I always pick up a communication that whether it's specific or not, it's very tangible experience of like a beautiful life force that's being transmitted, and it's very uplifting. And so that's just an example of how a way we can receive, right?
Yes, receive, because that position is receiving. You know, some, and when you said, you know, I like that you said, which said sit and pay attention, because we are so bombarded and crowded. You just drive down the street and there's signs, buy this, buy that, and so that you overlook the nature that is around you. There are some, I know in California, when I went to visit California, there are some places, some cities and towns that have constructed what they call meditation gardens, public meditation gardens, for people to just go in and sit and just meditate. Look at the beautiful vegetation, the flowers and the trees. I know locally in town, there's a small one that is enclosed by bamboo, and they sell plants, but they also have benches and such where you can sit and just relax. They encourage you to bring your lunch and have a seat on the bench. They encourage you to stay, and they don't bother you. There's no pressure to buy their plants or anything like that, but you could just go in the garden and just sit. And and it's beautiful.
Yeah, sanctuaries like that are so important, and I wish it was more in city planning to have parks and lakes and just places where more people could park, get out of their car, and walk to their shops and interact more. You know, I think Europe was originally set up more like that. And today it's so much of a car-based, quick and easy, you know, civilization. But I like what you're saying, and it's important to take the time
for
all of that. And contemplation in anything that we do, it enriches the experience, you know?
Right. Now, you mentioned living light language. You also have a book by the same title. So what is in your book? What can we expect? What can a reader expect to learn or to understand from your book?
Well, I don't have a copy right in front of me, and I should.
Okay.
I compiled that. It was my first small booklet. I call it a booklet. It's only 50 pages, and it's a quick, easy read. It's a primer for anyone exploring New Age concepts or just interested in the idea of ascension or wanting to grasp kind of an overview of what are we involved with as a humanity awakening. And it was over the last 30 years of my experiences of spiritual practice and bhakti yoga and then different teachers I've studied under, I felt like all this knowledge was coming, or wisdom was coming, in different ways, and it's great to utilize, but at a certain point you feel you have to try to share, you know.
That's right.
And so I made my little attempt at doing some writing, and I think it's a nice presentation for someone to just start grasping some of these metaphysical concepts of us being inner dimensional you know, mm-hmm. eternal souls, and that our process is about awakening and the different tools and means by which it's happening, and we can take advantage of it. Yeah, and so living light language is kind of it's a beautiful term, but it's kind of elusive. You're wondering, oh, well, how is this occurring? So I try to grasp it and explain how we're a part of it and receiving these upgrades.
Mm. Well, it's a very good read, and I encourage everyone to pick up the book.
Oh, and it is available on Amazon, so that just makes it easy. You can Living Light Language and Bala David will come up, and it's mm-hmm. called Creation Speaks is the second part of the title.
Awesome. We'll mention that again at the end. So what's next? What do you have? What projects are you doing? Anything upcoming? More art? More public engagement? What's going on with you?
Yeah, well, I have, over the last year or so, I did write a 167-page book so far. I'm refining it. I probably could have taken it to print some time ago, but I've been kind of delaying. But I feel it needs to get out there. It's information from Vedic sources that I've gathered and correlating it or tying it into other references in the New Age world. Mm. Of the golden age that is dawning within humanity. And there's very specific time periods and things occurring basically 500 years ago, at the time of the Renaissance, there was a avatar who appeared in India who's very little known. He's known as the Hidden Avatar, the Golden Avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Radha and Krishna combined in one form, appeared on the continent of India and for 48 years traveled throughout the continent of India, spreading the holy names of Krishna. And this was a part of the inauguration of the Golden Age that's sweeping through humanity over the next 10,000 years. Now, 10,000 years sounds like a long time, but in galactic time, it's a blip in time. And so we have like this window of opportunity to reach the highest stages of perfection. Otherwise, the Kali Yuga that we're presently in degrades more and more after that period. And so it's like this is a whole other conversation we could get into at some point, but it's wonderful to try to start understanding. But in the Greek concept, they called it the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Iron Bronze Age, and the Iron Age, right? Yeah. Most of us have heard of those. So in the Vedas, they have Sanskrit terms, but it's Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And so we are in this fourth Iron Age called Kali Yuga, which came about 5,000 years ago, and that relates to different cataclysms and things that may have occurred on this planet where the high cultures of before disappeared to some degree and things have rapidly degraded. Even though we think we're living in a high-tech society, our technology is still not that evolved. And we see the conflicts and warring that humanity's undergoing, right? So our consciousness had been polluted, but there is, over these last decades, an upliftment coming to humanity, and it's called a golden age within the Kali Yuga. That is it's a rare occurrence, and we're being blessed to evolve, you know, rapidly. And so I've compiled a book called The Golden Age Avatar, 10,000 Years to Awake, and I need to get that published. And besides that, I have an idea, and I'm sure a lot of people do, of, you know, getting a nice parcel of land, starting a retreat center, and building all kinds of alternative architecture with I've taken some domecrete building, papercrete, and you know, different types of alternative building concepts, but having many healing domes and temple type of construction where it's very universal, spiritual, you know, gatherings can occur.
That's an amazing project. That's going to be awesome.
So, yeah, any of us that can communicate and come together on such things, it's inspiring to co-create together.
Now, if someone wants to get in touch with you to co-create and to learn about your art and your upcoming book, how might they do that?
Yeah, well, I think if someone reaches out to me through the website, my email address and my phone number are there. I'm willing to interact with anyone. We can do even a monetary exchange, negotiate something that seems reasonable. Like, I do have some rates on my website, but I just like the idea of interacting with people and sharing what we have, sharing our skills and our gifts, you know. So someone can visit Galactic Glyphs, plural with an S, galacticglyphs.com. And then the other website is Bhakti, B-H-A-K-T-I, BhaktiPalace.com.
And BhaktiPalate?
Oh, Palace.
Oh, okay.
So that's, yeah. That website deals more with like Vedic texts that are good introductions for people to understand a lot of I believe the Vedas are like a blueprint of spiritual wisdom for humanity. And it doesn't matter what background or culture we come from, they're universal and really amazing spiritual texts that can benefit anyone. So.
Well, Bala, it was such a pleasure having you yet again on our show today.
Okay, well, thanks for your inquiries, and I'll share a glyph with you.
Yes.
All right, we'll have our little, we'll have more of a conversation. I'd like to give you a glyph.
I would love that.
All right. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, and you keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on Awakened Path Radio. Please check us out at www.awakenedpathonline.com. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Breen, and you are listening to Awakened Path Radio, giving you tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. Namaste and blessed be.